expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, July 19, 2015. From the studios at WGBB in West Babylon, New York, I'm Gary Harding. John Panarese is with me, as always. And in the second half hour of our show, we're going to talk to Jeff Patronoso if he hasn't fallen asleep or turned away from the television set. Because of those of you that are listening to us live, either on the TuneIn app or on WGBB 1240 AM, it is the top of the 18th inning at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. The Mets are 1-1. They are trying to set a record for the most men left on base ever in a single game. Actually, let's take it back. The Mets just got a run in the top of the 18th inning when Ruben Tejada just sacrificed fly to score Wilmer Flores. It is now 2-1 Mets, and let's see if somebody doesn't blow that one. Good evening, John. How you doing tonight?
All right.
Unfortunately, we were supposed to have a in-studio guest with us, my sponsor, Dr. Stephen Brook from Country Foot Care, but unfortunately, he was watching the game, too, and completely lost track of time, and if you were watching all 17 innings, you would lose track of time, too. But anyway, it's been an interesting weekend for the Mets. Of course, the All-Star game in Cincinnati, Jacob DeGrom with that magnificent, wonderful, fantastic performance. 10 pitches, 3 strikeouts. You can't ask for a better performance ever in an All-Star game. That's definitely going to go in probably one of the top 10 moments ever. And they come back, and of course they're facing the Major League leading St. Louis Cardinals. I think we're playing at about 650 ball right now. They are just absolutely tremendous. Every bit of their game is perfect.
And the best record in baseball, I believe, right?
They are. They definitely are. And, you know, close game on Friday night. Syndergaard pitched quite well. You know, only gave up a couple of runs. The Mets got a third. Mets got made the score 3-2 and got a runner on third with 2 outs, and Mayberry struck out to end the game. Last night's effort.
Cologne.
You know, so many people on so many boards were saying in like May and June when he had that incredible start, he was like 6-1 with like a 2-point-something ERA. You know, that was the time. Maybe you should have got rid of him. Maybe you should have traded for a bat. You know, I mean, we're going to talk to Jeff Patronoso from Amazing Avenue with the Bleacher Report Mets page in the second half hour of the show. Oops, there goes my cell phone. Anyway, we're going to talk to him in the second half hour, and we're going to talk about the situation with the Mets and what's the situation with our lovely general manager, Mr. Alderson, and why is he not making any kind of a move, and what's got to be in his head?
Just staying the course, and I don't know if that's a good idea right now.
Your pitching staff, you don't have to really worry about. I mean, they've been fantastic. Everything you could have wanted from this team from a pitching staff and better. You're looking at, the relief corps has done a pretty decent job. Mejia's back. Familia's done a great job. I mean, he only blew his third save in 30 opportunities. You know, his ERA is like 1.3. I mean, you can't ask anything more from him. You know, the guys have done the job. But, I mean, you know.
They're wasting great pitching efforts, though. That's the problem. They're not getting the hitting when they need it.
Exactly. Actually, there was a play, a close play that the Cardinals are challenging, and if the challenge doesn't go, the Mets got a second run in the 18th inning, so it could be 3-1. So maybe Jeff isn't falling off the ledge at this point. So obviously the Yankees play today, 2-1 victory as we heard over the Seattle Mariners. Mark Teixeira with another home run. Is he experiencing a fountain of youth? That's what, his 20th of the year, I believe.
Yeah. You know, he's not hurt for a change.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, both of us are not proclaimed Yankee fans. We know that, but Teixeira is a guy you like to watch because he gives his all no matter what. To me, I think the defensive part of his game to me is even as much, if not better, than his offensive part of his game. He's probably one of the best right-handed first basemen I've seen in probably 20, 30 years at least. I can't even think of a better one at this point. But, interesting on Saturday's game, I did not see it. So when I woke up this morning and looked at the paper, and it was the back page, and it was Robinson Cano beating his old team with 2 home runs. You know, is that maybe saying that Is he trying to get maybe a tryout? Maybe Sandy Alderson should go see about getting a second baseman for the stretch run. What do you think?
Would be interesting.
Yeah, I would love to see Robinson Cano in a Met uniform. In the first half hour here, we'll take a couple of calls. Jeff Patronoso from Amazing Avenue will be on about 8:35, 8:40. So if you want to give us a ring, I know John Sweeney, who was talking to us at the Duck game last night. John, and he's like, I got a call. I got to talk about the Mets. I got to talk about the Mets. Well, John, if you're on, you can call us. 631-888-8811 is the number. We're still waiting to see about the challenge. It was overturned. So it looks like they are not winning 3-1. It is back to 2-1. So, you know, Mets can't catch a break even if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But you got to admit, 90 games into the season, you know, would you have thought that this team would have been five games over 500 with the hitting that they've had at this point?
No, and they're fortunate because it's a lot of it is their pitching.
Yeah, I mean,
they have not blown. You know, it was interesting because in spring training they scored all those runs. What were they? They scored the most runs. Well, close to it in spring training.
I think they were number one. And of course, everybody was saying, you know, that's and they were, and pretty much they were right. You know, a lot of things, you know, didn't happen. You know, I mean, even with the 11 game win streak that they had in late April, early May, they weren't destroying teams.
No,
it was their pitching. It was their pitching and partly their defense that was doing the job. So you have to hand it to them. I mean, poor John Neese. You know, he's like the forgotten man at this point.
Yeah,
he pitched. He was brilliant today.
He's been pitching well the last couple of starts, and he's getting no run support.
Nope. I mean, you know, holding the, you know, getting the corners, getting the good pitches, even helping with his bat as well. I mean, he's hitting 200. You know,
for a pitcher, yeah.
For a pitcher, that he nothing else, nothing you can want better than that. You know, I mean, the problem is, you know, the Mets picked up these guys. You know, you look at, for example, a John Mayberry Jr. You know, he was a dud in Philadelphia. What made you think if he was coming up I-95 that he was going to improve here? I mean, he's hitting 182.
Wow.
I mean, you know, they're just not getting the contributions. And unfortunately, if you're, you know, and I, matter of fact, I talked to Dr. Brook because I went to his house and picked him up and was going to pick him up and he didn't come. But he was saying, you know, if you're going to depend on guys like David Wright, who hasn't played all year, and Travis d'Arnaud, who's been up and down injured, you know, although when he's been up, he's done considerably well. He's done a great job. You can't knock his effort. But,
right.
But, you know, the bottom line comes down to it. You know, he's got to stay healthy. I mean, Kevin Pilecki has done a nice job in his absence. I think they said on the radio broadcast he's hitting about 320. Since the beginning of June, which is great, you know,
right.
Which is exactly what you wanted from your catching hole. Any time you can get a catcher hitting above 250, you know, truthfully is a plus. You
right.
Know. But, you know, obviously we haven't been on the air since the Steven Matz situation. I mean, that was just, you know, two wonderful games, and then the poor guy messes up his lat, and he's out for a month. I mean, you know.
It's just the Mets' luck.
It's absolute karma. I mean, you can't expect anything worse going on. So, actually, we are now in the bottom of the 18th. Carlos Torres is pitching his second inning of relief. He came up for Sean Gilmartin, who pitched a couple of decent innings, actually struck out four. And he stands to be on the record as the winning pitcher, Gilmartin, if Torres holds on and he'll get the two-inning save. You look at, you know, let's talk about some other things. You know, we usually, this part of the show, we talk about our Islanders and talk about the NHL. And obviously now the season's over, the Chicago Blackhawks, again, the Stanley Cup winners, and free agencies come along. And, of course, our Islanders haven't done a lot of activity. They signed a backup goaltender in Thomas Greiss, who was backstopping for the Penguins last year, has come up to Long Island, I think, a very capable backup goaltender, someone that you can get at not a high price. I think his salary is only about in the 1 to 1.2 range. And I think it's a guy you can probably count on for about 20 games a year,
right.
You hope.
And that's, yeah. And, you know, he's played well. I don't want to put the jinx because everybody was saying the same thing about Johnson, too.
Exactly.
Before the season started, so I'm not going to say a word about Grice.
Yeah. Well, say we just hope he does the job.
The job, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, there's one out in the 18th, and Molina's up, who's not had a great day. He's hit into three double plays, and, well, he won't have a chance for a fourth because nobody's on. But yeah, no big moves for the Islanders. They're holding their salary at this point, up just two outs, just announced. The Rangers, of course, have made a couple moves either, and they saw Martin Tansanluis retire. Obviously, they saw Carl Hagelin move on to the Anaheim Ducks. Of course, Cam Talbot, their backup goaltender, has now been signed by the Edmonton Oilers, and Edmonton Oilers have done an interesting transformation, as well as the Buffalo Sabres, of course, getting their number one draft picks in Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel, respectively, have
signed their
entry-level contracts, and they're ready to go. And Buffalo had 17,000 people to see Jack Eichel play in their rookie inner squad game.
That's 17,000
people. 17,000. I know there's not a lot to be excited about in Buffalo these days, but...
I don't think we mentioned that Matt Donovan signed there, right?
Yes, Matt Donovan signed with the Buffalo Sabres, and I talked to his mom very often, and the game is over in St. Louis. The game is a 3-1 final. They did get the second run in the 18th inning, so it's over. The Mets finally win a game, and it took them two games to win one.
Yeah, it's the Mets.
And, you know, there was something, it was funny, I was driving to the station tonight, and it got to the bottom of the 14th inning, or, the middle of the 14th inning, and there was no second seventh-inning stretch. I was very disappointed. I mean, I've been, John, I would say probably to over 20 Major League Baseball parks, and to me, there is no better place to watch a baseball game, and even in the old park was great, but there is no better place as a fan of the game to want to go to see a baseball game than in St. Louis, Missouri. The Busch Stadium is absolutely beautiful. The fans are fantastic. They are diehard. I mean, the whole place is decked in red, obviously. It's just an amazing atmosphere. And I'm sure they weren't happy with the results, but again, you know, they're running.
Can't complain.
they're running away in the Central Division right now. So you can't be disappointed with that, but yep, three runs on 16 hits for the Mets, and I believe they had 25 men left on base. Yes, 25. And one for 26 with men in scoring position. They didn't get that second because they scored the second run on a sacrifice fly, and they got the third run on a fielder's choice. So it turns out that none of those were hits. So quite interesting for the Mets. One for 26 with men in scoring position. I mean, that's a very sad story.
It's the Mets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just looking at the stats, I mean, Curtis Granderson came in the late innings, and he got a couple hits. And, John, you may want to have a heart-to-heart talk with the caller that's coming on the line, because this gentleman, I think, stood you up last night. For the Long Island Ducks, no. Ralph is on the line. You got an apology coming on here, dude?
Hey, John, what's up?
What's going on?
How are you?
All right.
I just finished watching the tortured Mets.
Yeah. We're just talking about the tortured Mets.
Yeah, you mean the one for 26 runners in scoring position Mets?
Unbelievable. But we don't need no hitter. We're going to keep the pitches. So the pitches could give up no runs, but we can't score runs. So what good is it?
Well, again, we're going to talk to Jeff Patronoso from Amazing Avenue in the second half hour of the show, and we're gonna try to pick his brain, because he's actually a very big expert in the minor league system. He's done a lot of work, a lot of work scouting and doing work with the minor league. So we're gonna pick his brain, because we know there's bats down there. Brandon Nimmo and Jeff Conforto are rapidly jumping up the food chain for the Mets. I think they're in Double A right now in Binghamton, and they're actually tearing the cover off the ball there. I mean, is it going to be time to bring somebody up in September? I mean, obviously, you got to think with this team, the way they're going, I don't know if there's going to be any kind of a deal going, and you need to.
Right.
You need to get a bat in this lineup. I mean, they were mentioning the TV guys were mentioning during the game that the Phillies won on a game-winning home run by Jeff Francoeur. I mean, there's an old familiar face.
Yeah.
You know, would you want to, you know, he's a great pinch hitter. He's always been known as a great pinch hitter during his days with Kansas City and Atlanta and the Mets and whoever he's been with. He's done well. So, I mean, that would be a perfect person to get there because, I mean, you know, take out the three home run effort that Kurt Nieuwenhuis had last Sunday, and what has he done?
Right.
Obviously,
right.
He let the team and came back. I mean,
yeah. You know, that's not the solution.
So, what do you think, Ralph? Let's pick your brain. What, I mean, you know.
My personal opinion on the Mets is you have a lot of starting pitching. Yes, you don't want to give up any one of those top guns, but you know what? Jonathan Neese is pitching really good right now. You got to trade somebody to get somebody, and I would make a package. You got to get a guy from outside the organization. Internally, they're not proven yet. You need a guy who can hit and drive and run to solidify the lineup. David Wright's not coming back anytime soon.
No. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, would you have, you know, I was inkling that way when Big Boy, Mr. Colon, had a 6-1 start and had like a 2.5 ERA.
Yes.
I mean, to me, that would have been the move.
That would have been the move. You have to get rid of a pitcher when he's hot. Right now, Jonathan Neese is hot. You got to get rid of him. You don't get rid of the solid four. You don't get rid of Matt, Syndergaard, Harvey, and what's his face, DeGrom.
And don't forget, you got a guy named Wheeler going to come in April next year.
We have enough pitching. I mean, we don't need no more pitching. We got to get rid of somebody. You can't expect to get a good hitter and give up nothing.
I totally agree with that, dude. Totally agree.
Internally, no. Externally, yeah. We understand we got that guy Michael Conforto.
Yep. Right. He's in Double A, and so is Brandon Nimmo. Nimmo was a first round pick. I think Conforto was a first round pick.
Yeah, without a doubt. Could he do good in the big leagues? We don't know. We need somebody proven. We can't dip this year. We're only two games out of first. Playing Washington tomorrow.
And there are teams looking to unload right now. And you know, and it baffles my mind that there's no talk of anything.
Okay, well, actually, there has been kind of talk in some things. Let's ask both of you, Ralph and John. I mean, I've heard this on the radio. I've heard this on TV. I've heard it on ESPN.
Right.
What would you think about Puig?
Who?
Yasiel Puig from the LA Dodgers.
I'll take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why I'll take him? It can't be any worse than what we got right now.
Yeah. I mean, they said he's a big head case, that he's ticked off a lot of guys in his locker room. But you know what? At this point, you know, he's only got, like, I think, four home runs and like 16 RBIs and like 100 and something at bats. I know he's been hurt a little bit this year, but you have to think about it. I mean, there's a guy that can bring excitement to Citi Field.
Without a doubt. You know who I really want on the Mets? I like to take a chance on Ryan Braun.
Wow,
that's interesting.
That's a gutsy move.
That would be a move. You know why? You will bring fans to the ballpark with the young pitching, and Ryan Braun on that lineup will solidify that whole lineup. Trust me. I'm not even joking. That guy would be great.
And truthfully, you know, you, Ralph, you're an Islander fan as much as we are, and you know that whenever we talk about Gar Snow, that Gar Snow says he's only going to get players of quality ilk.
Yeah.
To me, I don't even put, you know, Ryan Braun can hit 75 home runs for all I care.
Right.
He's not a guy I'd want. I mean, even Puig is a stretch, but I think since he's only 24, he's moldable. I mean,
okay. Why don't you like Ryan Braun?
Ryan Braun, because basically he flat out lied.
All right.
He's a flat out liar. I wouldn't trust him as far as I can throw him.
That part's true. Well, the Yankees got an Alex Rio Rodriguez that everybody loves all of a sudden.
That still baffles my mind.
That still baffles my mind, too, but you know what? It is what it is. And I'm not.
And I'm glad he got snubbed for the All-Star break because people hate him other than Yankee fans. That's what it's all about. The fans didn't vote for him. You know that, right?
Yeah.
They
didn't vote for him.
I'm glad. And he got snubbed for the Gentleman Award, too, for the year. You saw that, right?
The Gentleman Award?
Which one?
Yeah, they had an award last week at the ESPY Awards.
Oh.
And he got snubbed. Guess who got it? Oh, comeback player of the year. My mistake. Who got it was that other guy, the guy on the Patriots, Gronkowski.
Oh, Gronk. Okay. Yeah.
He was snubbed for that, too. So he snubbed for two things. It couldn't happen to a better person.
Well, I didn't watch for other reasons. No. That's okay.
No interest in that.
Yeah.
Sorry about yesterday. I would have come. I just had a bad week. I had allergies. Killing me. I couldn't stay out there yesterday. That's why.
Ducks lost, but it was a good game, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you didn't hear about the Duck loss, did you, Ralph?
Yes, I did.
With two outs and two strikes in the bottom of the ninth? Yes. Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow.
Oh. Don Sweeney texted me and told me we were going to win the game, and then my cousin, John, also texted me to tell me what was going on. So I knew exactly what was going on. I would have been there. I'll be there next year. It's just that I knew that I would be tortured from allergies.
I hear you, dude. Don't worry about it. We'll let it slide. even Joe's got his head down here, so, you know.
And you'll see me for the Booster Club meetings. Don't worry about it. I'll be there.
Yeah, well, we're still rolling. We're still rolling.
You know,
All right, Ralph.
Listen, you guys be good. John, be good. And Gary, be good. And be safe driving home later, okay?
All right, you betcha. Thanks for calling, Ralph. We appreciate it. That's Ralph from Staten Island, a cousin of Mr. Panarese,
right.
And a good gentleman, a good sports fan. But anyway, we're still going to take calls for the next 10 minutes. We're going to take a break around the 8:30 moment, and then we're going to have Jeff Patronoso from Mazzini Avenue joining us, and I'm sure he's had a chance to have a beer and relax, you know, after watching 18 innings. I mean, you only watched up to 10 or whatever. I watched up till 11 and then left, and I'm just tired just thinking about it.
Imagine playing in a game like that. I wonder how hot it was out there.
They actually said it wasn't bad. It was only around 88.
Yeah,
but if you've been in St. Louis in July and August, oh my God, it's horrible. You know, it's sometimes worse than here. You know, especially you're right down on the Mississippi River. Oh, it's horrible. I mean, I went to a game there. We had our NHL fan club convention last year there in St. Louis, and we went to a Cards Red Sox game, and it was a Wednesday night, I think, a Tuesday night. And it was like 90 degrees,
wow.
And it was hot. It was muggy. But as I said, there is no better place to see a baseball game than in St. Louis. The fans are the best. To me, the ballpark is absolutely fantastic. So many things to do for the kids and stuff like that. There's a lot. I mean, they're all good in their own way. But, again, I think it's just the level of fandom that St. Louis has, to me, just outweighs everywhere else. And, you know, I love Citi Field. I mean, you know. Even Yankee Stadium has got its pluses, but it's just, you know, they just don't compare to St. Louis. But
I almost went to a Tampa Bay game last.
I almost went last year. Yeah, that's a day I'll never get back.
So was it a good choice?
Well, the Orioles were in town, and you know me, and my second team is the Orioles, so I was happy to go see that. There was probably about 11,000 in the crowd, and probably 6,000 of them were Oriole fans.
So I could have easily gotten tickets because we were just going to drive to the stadium.
That's it. We walked. Well, I had ordered them in the past, but I got for like, I think it was like $45-$50. I was 10 rows off the field.
Wow.
It was just right, you know, right. You were right there. It couldn't have been better. But, I mean, yeah, the highlight was going to pet the stingrays in the little pond, and when you walked in the park, you know, I mean, the grass is like 7 different colors. You got the roof, which is ridiculous. Yeah, it's not conducive. I mean, they're still talking about trying to put a park downtown, like on the other side of where Steinbrenner Field is the football stadium where the Buccaneers play, and I think on the other side there's land that they're possibly talking about. Putting a baseball park there,
but are they drawing enough? Somebody was telling me the other day that they're not.
They're not drawing because it's St. Petersburg. A lot of people that I know that live up in the Tampa area said they won't go because it's in St. Petersburg.
Oh,
and St. Petersburg is like a far of a drive is like from here to the city.
Oh,
you know, it's all highway driving, but it's just, you know, nobody wants to go to that armpit known as St. Petersburg. They said if they have the team in Tampa, they'll draw. They will absolutely draw. So it's just up to them to see what they can do. I mean, it's just – it is pathetic, if you will.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to bring up the MLB standings at this point. So with the win tonight, the Mets are actually back to 2 games behind the Washington Nationals. And as Ralph said, you know, the Mets are going to Washington this week to play 3 against the Nats. And they don't get Scherzer. Which is great,
right?
You know, so they got some opportunities maybe to gain some ground on this team. You know, and Washington has just not been a strong team all year.
They're not playing as well as I expected them to play. I really thought that they were going to be a lot better than they are.
You know, you haven't heard much of, you know, Strasburg all year. Scherzer's come in and was brilliant. I mean, should have had the perfect game. You know, if it's not for that stupid guy just ran into the pitch. you know, Gonzalez has faded. Zimmerman has done well, but, I mean, the pitching has helped them because their hitting hasn't done that as well as expected. They haven't gotten a lot of contributions, but, you know, you have to be, for them, you have to be happy. You know, they're, you know, as bad as they're playing, they're still holding on, you know, to that first place position, and, you know.
And the Mets are still realistically in striking distance. If they could make a deal and get some hitting, you know, who would think going to the end of July that they would, you'd be still talking about the Mets being around.
And being, yeah, right, and being relevant, if
right.
you will.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're looking at I'm looking at the wild card standings. Obviously, the Mets right now 48-44, four games over 500. The Pirates are 15 over at the first spot, and Chicago, the Cubs, who would believe the Cubs after the last couple of years they've had. Again, Joe Maddon, I think they're right there. You got a manager of the year right there. I mean, for a team that lost 100 games last year, and they're now 48-41, seven games over. He's getting the most out of his pitching. He's getting the most out of these young kids.
Well, it helps that they swept the Mets.
Yeah, it helps that they swept the Mets. That's true. I mean, right now, on the outside looking in, the world champion San Francisco Giants are six games over. I mean, but 3.5 behind the Dodgers, so they're out of the wild card picture. So, you know, the Mets got a little bit of climbing to do, but, you know, what's helped them is that they're 32-14 at home, second-best home record in the major leagues, actually third-best. And considering the fact of the past years that they never could win a lick at home.
Right.
I mean, the home record has actually drowned them in most years. I mean, but they're doing well right now. And they've got a big 10-game homestand coming up. The Dodgers are coming in for four. I believe the Nats are at the end of that. I don't know who's in the middle of there, but they got a big, important 10-game homestand coming up. Oh, no, St. Louis? No, I can't remember who it is. I'd have to look at the schedule, but they got four big games with the Dodgers at the end of July, and then again the Nats again. And when you look, and they were saying on the radio, you look at the schedule come August and September, the Mets usually have trouble because they're playing big teams. But you're looking at the National League East right now. You look at the Phillies. You look at the Marlins. It's not a difficult division anymore.
Right.
So you've got winnable games. So looking at the next 2 months, they've got a chance. They really have a bona fide chance.
If they can just get the hitting going.
If they can get somebody, right, if they can get something together, you can get a hot bat coming. You can get Flores has had streaks of brilliance, and then all of a sudden he fades. Duda was like, didn't have a home run for 6 weeks, had two straight, and then he fades. Very, very strange the way things have worked out, Actually, you want to hear something really funny? Would you believe that there was a rainout today in San Diego? I don't think they've had a rainout in about 4 years. you know what the easiest job in the world is? A weatherman in San Diego. And they're supposedly right now also they're experiencing a rain delay in L.A., which is unusual
which
too.
Which is probably good for them with all the
yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know. A weatherman in San Diego is the easiest job. Oh, sunny in 72. Yeah. What's tomorrow? Same thing. Tune in again. We'll tell you the same story tomorrow. So anyway, we're going to take a commercial break at this point. And when we come back, hopefully around 8:35, 8:40, we'll have Jeff Patronoso from Amazing Avenue to talk Mets. This is Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240, Long Island's own WGBB.
Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan. Or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out. Or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back with Sports Talk 1240 on the second half hour at 8:30. And this show is proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola and Williston Park. The doctors at Country Foot Care offer holistic conservative treatment options backed by years of education and experience. For your convenience, they carry a full line of products to enhance your customized treatment plan and some that just pamper your feet a little bit. For information, call them at 516-741-FEET or countryfootcare.com. Again, I keep saying for years and years, I've been going to them for over two decades, and I absolutely recommend them if you got any issues with your feet. And, of course, Country Foot Care is also the official sponsor of the New York Lizards lacrosse team, and they are in first place. August 1st, they start their playoff run. They're going for the championship, and they've got a record, I believe, of 11-2.
Wow.
They're doing fantastic this year. Great, great job. Oh, actually, sorry. 10-3. They did lose last night. Sorry.
Nah.
I thought they were going to pull a win off, but they lost in Ohio 14-9. And but again, they are still in first place. And we got our guest on the line, so checking us out here and from Amazing Avenue, which is the Bleacher Report connection for the New York Mets. Jeff Patronoso is joining us. Jeff, this is Gary and John on Sports Talk 1240, and I'm glad the game at least ended before you got to come on the show.
It was going to be tight. I was getting a little worried there.
My left, the thing that really bothered me the most, and I don't know if you heard the early part of the show, but were you really bummed that the Cardinals didn't do a middle of the 14th inning stretch?
And they didn't?
They did not.
That is disappointing.
Yeah, Josh Lewin mentioned that, and he was very, very upset. But, again, thank you for joining us, and, what a way to come on our show and talk about the Mets, especially after that wonderful performance. 25 men left on base. Have you ever heard of a Met team leaving that many men on?
I believe it hasn't happened since 1974, which is a little bit before my time.
So wow. Yeah. Holy cow. That's incredible. But, to the average Met fan, if you today – on July 19th, said this team would be four games over 500 and only two games out of first place. Would you have told them you were nuts?
I don't know if it was nuts. I would certainly have taken that, given the situation coming into the season. They've played more or less to, I think, what you would have expected coming into the season, if not sort of in the way you would have thought they got there. But the big surprise to me has been just how poor the Nats have been and sort of kept them in this division. Now, they've got three games with the Nats coming up, and they can have some issues with them this year, but they can put some distance between them or they can close the gap. But I think they're sort of where we expected. Now we'll just have to see if they can sort of stay in it for another month or two.
Well, what do you think at this point, looking at the season overall, I mean, things jump out in my mind, but what needs to be fixed for this team to really be able to compete down the stretch? And more importantly, as I've had many discussions with Met fans, do you think something is really going to be done by management?
Well, the first part of that question is easy. They need to fix the offense.
Right.
I think anyone
mm-hmm.
that watched today's game or any game mm-hmm. in recent history knows that this offense is a problem. And they're something like 34-5 when they score at least four runs, which is sounds not that crazy until you realize that sort of the average runs per game in the NL is a little bit under four. So basically, if they had an average offense, they would be, you know, possibly one of the best teams in baseball.
Right.
The pitching has been great all year. The bullpen has been better than expected. I would say probably objectively good. They just need to find a way to score more runs.
Right.
And they're starting, you know, three or four black holes on any given day offensively. And, you know, on a day like today when Granderson isn't one of their hot hitters lately, doesn't start, and Daniel Murphy doesn't really give you much, you play two games and score three runs, basically.
Yeah, and when you look at, as you were saying, you know, you got guys like Juan Lagares who seems to have actually taken maybe a step or two backwards this year. I mean, he had such a great season last year with the bat and was, you know, doing well in all situations. And, you know, I mean, today he comes up 2-for-9 and he just doesn't look as comfortable out there. And I know they said that Terry Collins had talked to him and said, look, just go back to when you were doing well last year and just have that kind of feeling in your bones. And it just looks like he's missing one ingredient, if you will.
Well, they've alluded to some elbow issues, you know, talked about maybe a Tommy John surgery at some point in his future.
Yeah.
So there is an elbow problem there, and they say it doesn't affect his hitting. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I mean, it's clearly affected his ability to throw in the outfield. That's been one of the big strengths of his game the last couple of years, and it's just not there this year.
Right, you saw that in the game today as well.
Yeah, and the offense, you know, it's closer to how he hit in 2013, and you would hope he will sort of jump off what he did last year, at least sort of consolidate those games, if not take another step forward. And that hasn't really happened, but with the defense he brings in center field, I don't know if he's one of the three or four biggest problems in the lineup right now, which is actually, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't be the first place I would look to make an upgrade in the coming weeks.
Do you think that there's going to be an upgrade in the next coming weeks? And, you know, I mean, you read stuff out there about different, you know, possibilities happening, but I just personally am not sure if we're going to see anything happen. What do you think?
I think they'll make a couple small moves. And look, if they can get, you know, are they going to go out and get Justin Upton? Are they going to go out and get Carlos Gomez? You know, do they have the willingness to spend that kind of money and that kind of prospect to get one of those bats? I don't think so. But there are other guys out there. If they can just get a good hitter or two for this lineup, you know, an average major league player, somebody that can hold down the fort for the rest of the season, I think they can go and do that. Now, that may take a little bit longer to develop than the big names, but I do think they kind of have to make a move or two just because they've been getting killed all year and there's no confidence from the fans or the media that they're going to do this. So I think they may just try to find, you know, target one or two decent players, like, you know, Will Venable or Ben Revere, somebody like that. You know, not a sexy name by any stretch of the imagination, not something that's going to, you know, light up the fan base on Twitter with excitement, but just somebody that can, you know, take an everyday role in this lineup and be, you know, a quality major league player.
Gee, you know, I mean, they were talking about I've seen some articles on Yasiel Puig even being mentioned, but of course, you know, right away LA said he's not going anywhere, so forget about that idea. Now, I know you have extensive experience covering the minor league guys, and a lot of talk, especially on the radio today. I happened to be, you know, because it was a 90 degree day, I didn't want to sit in the house. I was in the pool listening to the guys, Josh Lewin doing the game, and they were talking a lot about Brandon Nimmo and Jeff Conforto, obviously two first-round, you know, top picks, and that are currently tearing the ball up in Double A right now. Is there a possibility that we might, you know, if they don't make such a big deal, that maybe one of those guys, if they really have a good, strong next 60 days or 45 days or so, you could see them calling them up in September?
It might be before then, to be honest. It sounds like coming off this game that Kadir's knee might be... I mean, they're talking about shutting him down now at this point.
Oh,
came out of the game today. They're going to try some treatment and then reevaluate. But they've talked about that as at least a possibility, and it's not going to get better. They've said that, basically since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
As for those two guys, I've seen a fair amount of both of them this year. I think they'd probably, if they went in that direction, would go to Conforto. He's the natural left fielder. That's what he played in college and what he's played in the pros. He's the more, I think, present-day advanced hitter. He could come up and hold his own, at least in the majors. Now, look, there's a chance he could come up and be really good for 2 months. He'll be a quality major league hitter. There's a chance he could kind of fall on his face a little bit. Right? From what I've seen from him in Double A, he takes very professional bats. He has a good approach. There's some power there. He looks like he can handle velocity. He stays with breaking stuff well. He's a pretty good left fielder. Not a gold glove or anything, but he's not gonna kill you there. He'll make all the plays. And that's the kind of bat you could put into the lineup. He could be, just a good quality everyday player right away. There's more risk there because he's not a known quantity. With Nimmo, he has to take a little more time. He had a fairly significant knee injury earlier in the season. And his profile is a little more raw. He might be a guy that needs a little more seasoning, some AAA at time. When Conforto was drafted, the book on him was he was going to be equipped to the majors, polished college bat. And even if he's not like ready, completely a finished product, I think he's ready to be a contributor on some level.
Is there anybody from Vegas who, the Mets could call up who, obviously they've been bringing up guys right and left all season, but, with September really not that far away, is there any surprises that could help from that avenue?
I mean, you've seen most of the guys. You'll probably see Dustin Herrera again. You'll probably see Logan Barrett, if not before then, come up to be either in the bullpen or a long man spot starter type. You see Travis Tyrone's been a guy that's been around for a while. If they decide to cut bait with John Mayberry Jr. at some point, he could potentially fill that sort of lefty mashing corner outfield bat off the bench. But again, I don't know if there's a huge upgrade there. I mean, the farm system has pretty much emptied out, not emptied out, but you've seen what sort of the best of it has to offer this year. I think we went over sort of our midseason list on the site. We know the top five prospects in the system coming into this year have all gotten major league time this year.
Right. So it's the Nimmos and the Confortos that are maybe, obviously you may see them, but they're really, I think, probably, about a year away from being regulars.
Sometime you would think May, June of next year is probably a safe bet there. Now, they could come up and help, but there's risk there you don't get with maybe a more established major leaguer.
Now, let's just... let's put you as the grader. I mean, looking at the moves that obviously that Sandy made. I mean, obviously you talked about Mayberry, and I just don't see why he's still in this lineup right now. I mean, what he's not producing. I mean, Kirk Nieuwenhuis, obviously other than that miraculous game last Sunday where he just found his fountain of youth, has lost it again. I mean, you have to give him a bad grade. I mean, to me, when he went for the move for Kadir, I kept saying was Cruz is available. And I'm an Oriole fan as much as I am a Yankee fan. I mean, a Mets fan. God, what did I say? Yankee fan? And I'm sitting here with a DeGrom jersey, okay? But Cruz, to me, would have been perfect in this lineup. I mean, what was Sandy thinking about not bringing Cruz on in this lineup?
Well, there's a couple of things at work here. I think based on what he has had to work with financially, he has not done a good job. He has not spent the money that he has spent particularly well in the free agent market. He hasn't been particularly creative with trading for major leaguers. I think before they sort of traded for Blevins and Torres at the beginning of the season, there's something like four major league players he had trades with in the previous four seasons. So, I mean, he's been very good at getting like prospect young talent for major league players, obviously Beltran for Wheeler and the R.A. Dickey trade, bringing in Syndergaard and Darnell and John Buck and Marlon Byrd for Dilson Herrera and Vic Black. But he really hasn't been able to be particularly creative. And look, the payroll is an issue. you can't separate that from his performance as a GM.
Right.
You don't know what's being said between the Wilpons and Alderson in terms of where they are allowing him to spend, how much influence they have over the actual players that are coming in. So it's tough for me to really get a feel for how those interactions have worked. And, you know, is there money being left on the table? Are there deals being left on the table because he doesn't want to spend the money, or he doesn't value these players as highly as maybe some other organizations do, or he's misreading the market? So it's just very difficult to grade him overall past just saying, look, I mean, you can win with a $100 million payroll. You just have to spend the money wisely. And the free agents he's brought in and the trades he's made, whether it's, someone like the Dyer,
right,
where he's filled out the bench, it just hasn't worked.
Right. I mean, you look at the Kansas City Royals. I mean, they're living proof. They were 90 feet away from winning a World Series, and their payroll isn't even $60 million, right. I don't think.
To be fair, it did take them 10 years to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah, that's true.
So that's the thing. I mean, comparing the Mets to the Royals, I say this a lot. It's an easy comparison to make because they both have good pitching staffs and they are financially limited. But the Royals have probably one of the historically great bullpens and outfield defenses in recent history. And that's something you just can't really replicate.
Yeah, you get a start
no
that gets,
how much money
you get a starter that goes six innings, it's game over.
Right.
Yeah. And they've got a few first-round picks in that, former first-round picks in that bullpen, too. Mm-hmm. If you want to put Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard in there, it would be the closest comp, I think.
Right.
Well, that's just it. It's almost to me in some regards like they're almost kind of hoping and expecting that all of these prospects are going to really eventually, be the turning point for this team. They're waiting for these guys to develop and become something. And the pitching has definitely, certainly been the bright spot this season. And I was just wondering, because we've had call-ups with Syndergaard and Steven Matz. What is your evaluation of how these kids have done, basically been thrown to the Wolves, maybe a little bit earlier than you probably might want them to be?
Well, I think the Mets have maybe even been a little bit, I don't want to say conservative, but they're very sort of cognizant of service time with these young arms. They don't really want to call them up until June 20th or so when they get the extra year of control, plus they don't have to deal with Super 2, so it's just a standard 3 years of arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's to save money to a certain extent. But they
right.
do have, they want these guys to hit a certain amount of innings pitched mark in the upper minors. But I think overall they've done really well, and a lot of that credit, look, he's had really good talent to work with on a pitching level, but Dan Worthen, in terms of adding pitches and having these guys improve at the major league level, Syndergaard especially I only don't really have the returns on Matz yet, so he made two starts before the lat issue. But Syndergaard looks like a completely different pitcher than when he first came up. And some of that's just he's probably getting more comfortable, but they've added a two-seamer, which I think has made a big difference for him being able to establish his fastball. And the changeup has gotten better. I think you've got to give Dan Worthen credit for that. I know what Jacob deGrom has done since he got to the majors. Same with guys like Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler, even J. Urs Familia.
Right.
Went from a guy that looked like a good, if shaky at times, late-inning reliever last year to a lights-out closer because he basically taught him the slider he teaches to everybody, and now he's throwing 90-mile-an-hour sliders
yeah.
to go with 98-mile-an-hour sinkers. And again, that's a credit to the talent he has to work with as well. But.
And don't you think also that credit should also go to Frank Viola, who's worked with both Syndergaard and Matz last year and this year as well? I mean, Viola worked with Matz up from Savannah as well.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to have a major league pitching coach job soon.
No doubt about it.
He's done a really good job working, going back to Savannah, he worked with guys like Steven Matz, Rafael Montero, some of the bullpen arms you're seeing now, Jack Leathersich and Logan Barrett, guys like that too. And then again in Vegas, of course, with Noah Syndergaard. And it's just, where do you find a spot for him? I know the Twins interviewed him this past offseason. I think they definitely like having him in the organization, but he's a guy that, I don't know what his sort of end goal is here. He had a very good pitching career. He's not necessarily a guy that needed to go back and coach, but he's taken to it very well. And in my brief sort of observations of him as a pitching coach, he's very hands-on. He likes working with the kids. It's it's, you know, back in Savannah, those are 10, 12-hour bus rides he's taking. Mm-hmm. He's really putting his time, and he's going to get a job. I just don't know if it's going to be with
the big club or with, yeah. It could very conceivably go back to Minnesota. So in the last couple of minutes we got here, again, they got a big matchup with the Nats this week, and then they come home for a big 10-game homestand. If you say that they can come out of this homestand, especially playing six games with the Nats, if they come out of that homestand, say 6-4 or whatever, you think they're legitimately, I think, a shot come September that they really got some serious, serious, meaningful baseball. As you said, Washington's not played to their potential, and you hope that they keep continuing their slide, if you will. But, I mean, all things considered, I mean, the Mets really got they have a shot to sneak this division out if they do the right things.
And their pitching is going to keep them in games as long as it stays healthy. And it's stayed, all in all, pretty healthy this year. They just need to find a way to score a few more runs. You know, getting Travis d'Arnaud back might help. But, then, you know, one is like the one bat just isn't going to do it.
Right.
Is the problem. Yeah. They'd be better off trying to find three or four spots they can upgrade a little bit, because it's going to cost you less in aggregate, again, in terms of money and prospects, which are of foremost concern for the ownership and front office, respectively, in terms of what they're going to have to give up there. You know, it's finding quality major league regulars, not guys that are going to the All-Star game, you know, maybe not even guys that are under contract past this season or the next. It's just they got to fill holes right now and let the pitching do what the pitching has done. And, you know,
now they gotta
they're going to be in it for the division. They're going to be in it for the second wild card. It's not like the Cubs or the Cubs and the Giants are kind of in the same spot as them. But, you know, those are teams you're a little more confident. You know, guys like Brian Sabian and Jed Hoyer will go out and do something at the deadline if it comes, you know, if it comes to it.
Right.
There's an upgrade out there. We haven't seen this front office do it. And we don't know if the ownership has the money to do it.
Right, exactly. So listen, Jeff, to everybody that's listening on Sports Talk 1240 now, how can they at least get in touch with you or at least see the articles that you're writing up, if you can give a plug?
Sure. You can read my stuff at amazonavenue.com. We're doing our mid-season prospect list right now, and then I have some reports. I was just in Kingsport, Savannah, and St. Lucie the last couple weeks looking at some of the low minors affiliates. So I've got reports going up on guys from there. I also do a weekly podcast called Amazing Avenue Audio, which you can find on iTunes or on the site. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Paternostro.
And we definitely will do that. So Jeff, we appreciate you taking a few minutes after your post game. And now that everything is all over, just take a breath, take a beer, and relax for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I'm going to pour myself a nice big cocktail.
There you go. Well, listen, Jeff, again, we appreciate you coming on, and have a great rest of the season.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, Jeff Paternostro from Amazing Avenue, and a great guest. And again, I've been reading his stuff over the last couple of weeks. It's a great.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's a good way to get information, especially on the guys that are coming up. I mean, you know, I really just have nothing bad to say about the minor league part of the organization, because they've always seemed to build talent from within. They've got a great scouting staff. They've got a lot of great guys working with them. I mean, again, Frank Viola, a great World Series winning pitcher, you know, a couple hundred wins in his major league career, and he's riding the bus in the South Atlantic League.
Right.
You know, I mean, he doesn't have to do that, but he does, because the guy loves the game, and he loves to work, as Jeff said, work with the kids.
Right.
And he did a great job with Steven Matzik, especially because he worked with him right after the Tommy John surgery. So you're basically, you know, building yourself from square one. And supposedly I heard Josh Edgen is, you remember him?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he just picked up a ball and started throwing again, because he had his surgery, you know, obviously last year. So he's getting ready to come, you know, on the road to recovery. So he should be coming soon. Zach Wheeler should be throwing a ball probably in the next 30 to 60 days. So he's going to get ready. So hopefully come spring training, there's another big person you're going to add to your staff. I mean, Zach Wheeler has some nasty, nasty stuff. And you can only hope that in the next, you know, 9 to 10 months that he gets that back.
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at, you know, the interesting thing looking at is you look at a guy like Bobby Parnell, and we know before he had the surgery, he was drawing 100-mile-an-hour BBs. and he's not obviously he's not getting to that level. You know, he's I think his fastball is only getting up to 95, 96, but you know, in that process of getting his arm back and getting himself back into game shape, he's learning other pitches. So he's becoming in a more he's going to hopefully become a more effective pitcher.
Well, that's what you have to do.
You have to reinvent yourself, and that's.
And some guys have done that and done it really well.
The only thing I would have liked to have talked to Jeff about, especially with the kids and especially since he goes and sees a lot, it all comes back to me. I remember watching a game and Seaver came back and was talking, and they were talking about basically the mechanics of pitching. And again, it all comes back to it. And it still bothers me to this day because I played high school ball or whatever, and I pitched when I was a kid. And I always learned from watching Tom Seaver and a bunch of those guys that grew up when growing up in the 70s and watching them pitch is that you didn't just throw with your arm and your chest. You threw with your legs.
Right.
Your legs were the main anchor to get the speed and get the whole body and get the whole rhythm into the pitch. And guys just don't do that anymore. You know, they throw that nasty, crazy, 90-mile-an-hour slider that dances like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, but they're concentrating on their upper body.
And that's wonder if it explains all the problems we're having. We're seeing these guys with the going down to the Tommy John surgery, and I wonder how much that has to do with it.
My godson who pitched for Division Avenue High School in Levittown, especially they taught him to use their legs. And Tom Seaver was always apparent when you watched him pitch that you looked at his knees, and his knees were dirty.
Right.
Because his legs were scuffing the ground as he was releasing and following through. And you don't see that anymore. And I think that maybe if some pitching coaches go back and teach these kids that.
Right.
And teach them that they're not, having to, rely on their just on their arm, that they
right.
rely on their entire body to throw the ball. So we got 2 minutes. Jake Brown is coming on in the second hour, and he's got a guest in studio, Charles Jenkins, who, if any of you remember, the Hofstra Pride basketball team was one of the stars and also made it to the NBA, a great basketball player, and he's going to be in the studio with Mr. Brown tonight. So that should be a good hour to listen to following us. John, it was fun.
Yeah.
Quick
definitely.
Hour as usual. We will be back, I think, on August 16th. I come back from my annual trek to the NHL convention.
Right. That's right.
And next year it'll be hosted on Long Island, and maybe Sports Talk 1240 will do a live show.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. Get some hockey perspective in August. Obviously, the Islanders getting ready to move to Brooklyn. They had the blue-white game at the Barclays Center, and yes, I was watching it on my TV. I plugged my computer into the TV, and it was getting used to what I'm going to be watching now most of the year.
That's right.
But, again, make sure you stay tuned to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB with GB coming on with Charles Jenkins. And, again, we want to thank Jeff Patronoso, who was from Amazing Avenue. Again, at Jeff Patronoso on Twitter. If you want to make sure you check out us, I am at G Harding WGBB and at Hockey Blindside for John. We will see you again in 4 weeks. Make sure, again, stay tuned for JB Brown in the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. Have a great rest of your Sunday night.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.